Welcome to the Tipping Point Show. I'm Jimmy Evans. Listen, we've got a great show today. I'm going to be teaching about Israel, defending Israel. You're hearing a lot of things about Israel that are lies. I'm going to tell you the truth here, document the truth from history and from Scripture about what's actually happening in Israel right now, and countering all the lies that you're hearing and that you're seeing. I saw on a billboard here yesterday in Dallas, driving down the street, a huge pro-Palestinian billboard telling a bunch of lies. I'm going to tell you the truth today. I do want to tell you, though, about our conference. This coming up September the 20th and the 21st, just a couple of weeks before the Feast of Trumpets this year. It's going to be the Tipping Point Prophecy Conference at Fellowship Church in Grapevine, Texas. And I want you to be there. It is going to be an absolutely great time. This is a critical time in human history. I've never seen a time like this in my lifetime. And it's just all the end time signs are converging, and we're going to come together. We have some crucial information to share with you about current events that are directly aligning with Bible prophecy, and every sign is now converging to confirm with absolute certainty that Jesus is coming. I mean, we might not even make it to the conference, I hope. And so you need this information to share with your loved ones and friends. And we want to equip you as God's warriors for the end times. We want you to make your plans to hear from renowned Bible prophecy experts. We'll be joined by myself, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, Max Licato, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, Billy Crone, Pastor Ed Young. Now listen, I told you that Jack Hibbs would be at the conference. He's not going to be there. He confirmed and then he realized he had a conflict. He's not going to be there, but Dr. David Jeremiah is going to be there. It is sensational. He'll be there on Friday night. He's going to be with us live via video, but he will be with us live. We'll be interacting with him there. He is the foremost authority in the world on end time prophecy. He's the most respected end time prophecy teacher in the world today, and we're absolutely thrilled to have him joining us. I want to hear his perspective. I can't wait to hear his perspective at the conference on the things that are happening. Listen, it'll be current. Whatever's happening in September, that's what we're going to be asking him about, he's going to be sharing about. So these are some of the most anointed Bible teachers that are going to be sharing their insights on what they see happening right now when the conference happens. Don't miss this chance to gain some vital information and perspective to help you bring more people into the kingdom before the bridegroom comes to rescue his bride. More people need to know the truth before it's too late. So bring friends, bring a group from your church, bring people from your work. You know, this is something that's so important. And you can register right now at conference.endtimes.com, and we have reserved seating. And so remember now, when you come, if you're a subscriber, a paid subscriber to endtimes.com, you get 50% off of your ticket price. And so we have seats that are $50. You can get that seat for $25 under the balcony and in the balcony. We've reduced the price of those seats. You can come for $25. We would love to have you. And so go there to conference.endtimes.com, reserve your seat. And so I want you to be there. This could be our final opportunity to have this type of a conference. It's so crucial for us to prepare ourselves for the end times. And so go right now to conference.endtimes.com. I want to see you there with Dr. David Jeremiah and all of our other special guests and myself. I'll have a special message too on Friday night and Saturday. And we'll also have our panel that we always have that people love. So it's going to be a great conference, great time together. And so now I want to go into the teaching for today. Well, I want to talk about defending Israel. You hear a lot of things spoken of right now about Israel and all the lies that are being told. Before I get into the teaching, let me say we have a studio audience this morning here for the first time. Right here, give everybody a hand. Here, y'all applaud each other there. The very first time, our studio audience. Glad to have you guys here. And you guys will see, a lot of you are subscribers, you'll see that we have studio audience days. And so if you'd love to come be here, we'd love to have you here. And I want to thank you for watching and thank you for supporting us here at endtimes.com. You know, it's just sad to see the lies that are being told about Israel. October 7th, 2023, there was a seismic shift in the world and in Bible prophecy and in the spirit realm. And I tell people all the time, anti-Semitism is not an ideology, because no one can really say what anti-Semitism is. They really can't state in any intelligent term why they hate Jewish people, except for lies. It is a spirit. It is a demonic spirit. That anti-Semitism is of Satan. And on October 7th, what you saw was like a lancing of a boil. The anti-Semitism that was underlying in many places is now just out there. Little children on playgrounds talking about Jewish people. places like Ireland that you would never think about being anti-Semitic. The Irish women's volleyball team wouldn't shake hands with the Jewish volleyball team, things like that, all over the world. Those are minor things. All over the world, unbelievable anti-Semitism that's happening. Never since the Holocaust have we seen this type of anti-Semitism in the world. And of course, on October 7th, there was more people died than at any point in time since the Holocaust. And so even though the Hamas terrorists attacked and raped, beheaded, tortured, and killed innocent Israelis, children, babies, families in front of each other, elderly people, they slaughtered a group of young people attending a concert and took hostages, many of which are still held captive. Some have died. In January, I went to the Israeli embassy in Jerusalem. I was invited there by the embassy to watch a video. It was a 45-minute video, and of the atrocities that took place. Now, this footage was taken from the terrorist camera phones and their social media. Some of it came from the victims' phones and social media. Some of it came from surveillance footage. But I watched 139 Jews slaughtered. The deputy ambassador who introduced the video began by saying that they had deleted or omitted, edited out what they did to the babies. But we all know that they beheaded many of those babies. And I just saw Jews get slaughtered. Now, during the time that they were slaughtering the Jews, the terrorists, and a lot of people say, well, they didn't really do it. The Israelis did it. You see their faces. I mean, it's their own cameras, their own phones taking footage of what they did. And they're posting on social media. They were live streaming what they did. And so it's undeniable that they did it. But it's just the unbelievable savagery. They were praising Allah the entire time they were killing the Israelis. They're having a worship service the entire time. For 45 minutes, I heard them praising Allah, praising Allah. One man killed a Jewish woman, took her phone, called his mother, and said, "Mother, your son is a hero. I just killed 10 Jews with my bare hands." Of course, that's what they're trained to do from birth. And she began to praise Allah. She handed the phone to his father. Same thing. He began to praise Allah. They were just having the greatest time. They just slaughtered them, just one after the other. Then at the end, they were taking the hostages. And I can't even describe. I saw soldiers' heads being cut off, just graphically. Then they took one soldier, cut his head off. One of the leaders, as they're going into Gaza City, one of the leaders said, "Crucify him up on that building so everybody can see him." They were playing with his head, throwing his head around. And so it's just unbelievable. In spite of that, the world has turned against Israel. You would think, having done that, that the world would turn against Hamas. And some people have. But the world overwhelmingly today is pro-Palestinian and has turned against the Jews. The United Nations has made very overt comments that they support Hamas. They at least don't condemn Hamas to the point that they should. And they constantly condemn the Jews. This is an article from Politico by Laura Holzman. And it said, Israel's ambassador to the United Nations is calling for the resignation of UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres after he said the Hamas attack on October 7th, in which 1,200 people were killed, did not happen in a vacuum. The Palestinian people, this is quoting him, the Palestinian people have been subjected to 56 years of suffocating occupation. But the grievances of the Palestinian people cannot justify the appalling attacks by Hamas, and those appalling attacks cannot justify the collective punishment of the Palestinian people, Guterres said. It didn't happen in a vacuum. So what he's saying is there's a reason for it, that, you know, he's justifying it. Worldwide pro-Palestinian demonstrations broke out right after October 7th. One of my dear friends and his wife were in London. They landed in London 2 days after October 7th. From the airport to the hotel, they saw one pro-Palestinian demonstration after the other, not one pro-Israel demonstration. From the time between October 7th and October 27th, in 3 weeks, there were 3,761 pro-Palestinian demonstrations around the world, and only 529 pro-Israel demonstrations in 3 weeks. And that's not counting what's happened since. In my neighborhood, and I live here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, in my neighborhood, I'd been out eating lunch with my granddaughters, And we were driving home, and we saw this big ruckus up on the street corner up there, and it was a pro-Palestinian demonstration in my neighborhood. I mean, I would have never dreamed that there would have been one in my neighborhood. There's probably about 100 people there waving the Palestinian flags, and they were shouting over a loudspeaker, Israel is an apartheid state, and Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. Those were the two things that I heard. There are also many other lies being told, like October 7th never happened. By the way, the reason that the Israeli embassy asked me, I was there with a group of spiritual leaders and business leaders, and the reason they asked us to come to the embassy is they want people to know this is real. Because of the disinformation campaigns going on, TikTok is a big reason why there's so much disinformation out there, is because they're trying, of course, China is not a friend of Israel's. They're trying to promote this lie that October 7th never happened, or that Israel actually is responsible for October 7th, and they massacred their own people as a pretext for invading Hamas. The other lie that's out there is the Palestinians, just they simply want their own homeland to peacefully coexist alongside the state of Israel, which is a bunch of nonsense. Here's a quote. By the skillful and sustained use of propaganda, one can make a people see even heaven as hell or an extremely wretched life as paradise. And that was stated by Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was a master of propaganda. And what you're hearing right now is propaganda that's coming through social media. It's coming through, of course, pro-Palestinian people. And so this is very, very dangerous. And it's there to deceive the average person into believing what they're saying is true. Joe Rogan, who has the very popular podcast, has come out recently saying that Israel's committing genocide against Hamas. I hope Joe's watching. You know, doubt he is, but I hope he is, because I want to show you the truth, Joe, and everybody else out there that you're hearing this lies. What I'm going to say to you here, this is irrefutable. This is the truth about what's really happening. And I want to begin by just asking the question, is Israel an apartheid state? This is one of the things that they're saying. And so is Israel an apartheid state? And I'm going to prove that they're not. To anyone who's open to the truth, apartheid, the definition of apartheid is a policy or system of segregation or discrimination on grounds of race. That's what apartheid means. It's segregation on grounds other than race also. And so South Africa was famous for, or infamous for, their apartheid, and only whites could be in government, okay, before Nelson Mandela. Okay, and of course that system was broken up. That's what apartheid is. This group can rule, this group cannot, based on race or religion or whatever it might be. So here's the truth. 21.1% of the citizens of Israel are Palestinian or Arab. Most are Palestinian Arabs. Israel is a democratic nation, and in the Knesset, which is their Congress, they have elected representatives that are Arab, Muslim, Palestinian, Christian, women, and openly gay people. In their Congress, if they're an apartheid state, that just means only Jews can be in the government. Well, that's just not true. 20% of their government is made up of non-Jews, Muslims, Christians, Palestinians, but that's not true of Hamas. Hamas is an apartheid group that is 100% Muslim-led. You can't be in Hamas if you're not Muslim. And they discriminate against the Jews. The Jews can't live there, and the Jews can't govern in Gaza. So exactly what they're saying about the Jews is true of them. This is what Hitler meant. You know, if you want to just use propaganda, just tell what's true of you to somebody else and get somebody to believe it. If you keep telling the same lie over and over again, somebody's going to believe it. But it's not the truth. Israel is a democratic nation, the only democracy really in the Middle East. And by the way, the Palestinians who are citizens of Israel are more free and more protected than they would be in any other Arab nation. Israel is a democratic nation. And that's the truth. They're not an apartheid state. Here's another lie that's being told, and that is Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. Well, let me define genocide, because we need to understand terms. Genocide is the deliberate and systematic killing or persecution of a large number of people from a particular national or ethnic group with the aim of destroying that nation or group. Okay, so if you're going to commit genocide, it means that you're going to have to kill a very large number of people or all of a group of people. Okay, now Israel is killing terrorists that are called Hamas, and they have vowed to destroy Israel. Now, let me ask a question, get you to think about something. In World War II, the Allied forces had no bone to pick with the German people or the French people or the Polish people or anybody else. They had a bone to pick with the Nazis. And they went into that war aimed, focused on destroying the Nazi regime and Adolf Hitler. And that's what they did. Thank God they did, because the world would be a different world today if the Nazis would have won. Okay. Israel has no bone to pick with the Palestinian people. Their bone to pick is with Hamas. And Hamas has vowed from the beginning genocide against the Jewish people. Okay, so listen to this. So Israel's committing genocide in Gaza. Well, let's just prove it out. There are 2.3 million Palestinian residents in Gaza, 2.3. The death toll right now since the war began is around 30,000 people. That's 1.3% of the Palestinian population in Gaza. It means just a little over 1 out of 100 Palestinians have died, and many are not, most of those are soldiers. And by the way, the Hamas hides behind their people. You know, they stage attacks against Israel from hospitals, from daycare centers, from schools. Right now, the Hamas is, they're staging terrorist attacks against the Israeli soldiers from humanitarian zones. So these are not real soldiers. These are not brave people. Okay, so here's my question. If Israel is committing genocide against Hamas, why have only 1.3% of the Palestinian population of Gaza been killed? They're not going after the Palestinian people. They're going after Hamas and the citizens that are being killed. Israel has painstakingly tried to save the Palestinian people in Gaza. It is Hamas who has put their people out front to hide behind them. Did you know, by the way, that Hamas built 500 miles of tunnels under Gaza and not one shelter for their people above ground? This is who they are. So since Hamas began, they have vowed to kill every Jew in Israel and destroy the Jewish state. That's genocide. When you hear the statement, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that's from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. That means kill every Jew. That's genocide. Israel has killed 1.3% of the Palestinian population in Gaza. Many of those, if not most of those soldiers, some innocent civilians have died. Israel's tried for that not to happen. Okay. But since the very beginning, the Hamas has been vowed to the total destruction of the nation of Israel. And many other Palestinians are too. Many other Arabs are too. Only 5% of the Arab world has denounced Hamas. That tells you something right there. So this is from my book with Mark Hitchcock. It's called What's Next is Israeli-Gaza War. We're trying to inform people about what's really happening in Israel with the Hamas war, and prophetically what the Bible says is going to happen in the future. So this is from the book. It's the summary of 36 articles of the Hamas Charter. Is the Covenant of the Islamic Resistance Movement, 1988. It was revised in 2017 by Georgetown University. Professor Bruce Hoffman from The Atlantic. This is printed in October 10th, this revision of 2023. So let me read you. This is a summary of the 36 articles. This is their charter, and this is what they began with, and this is why Israel relates to them the way they do. And so here's a summary. Number one, the complete destruction of Israel as an essential condition for the liberation of Palestine and the establishment of a theocratic state based on Islamic law, Sharia. Number two, the need for both understanding and unceasing holy war, jihad, to obtain the above objective. Number three, the deliberate disdain for and dismissal of any negotiated resolution or political settlement of Jewish and Muslim claims to the Holy Land. And number four, the reinforcement of historical anti-Semitic tropes and calumnies married to sinister conspiracy theories. In other words, lie. Lie as much as you want to. That is the original charter, a summary of the original charter. Let me give you another statement from the original charter. The day of judgment will not come about until the Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews. When the Jew will hide behind stones and trees, the stones and trees will say, "O Muslims, O Abdullah, there's a Jew behind me. Come and kill him." That's the Hamas charter. And so Hamas equals genocide. That's what they want to do. Let me ask you a question. Just think about this for just a minute, because, you know, Secretary General Guterres is saying that they have had this horrible oppression of Israel against Hamas in Gaza for all these years. Well, if your neighbor came to you and said, "I hate your guts and I'm going to kill you and your family. I don't recognize your right to exist." and I'm going to go into my house over here, and I'm going to build guns and bombs, and as soon as I'm finished, I'm going to kill all of you. Would you build a fence? Would you put in a security camera? Would you kind of keep your eye out for them? Well, in 2005, the United Nations forced Israel to give up the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians in a land for peace deal. Think about this. And this is under the George W. Bush administration. And what we told Israel was, if you give up the Gaza Strip is this lucrative piece of land on the Mediterranean Sea, absolutely gorgeous. This could be the most incredible piece of property in the world if it were developed properly, which Israel would have done. It'd be like Singapore. But instead, Hamas took it and turned it into a military zone to destroy Israel. From the very beginning, when in 2005, they lost Gaza, in 2007, Hamas took over the Gaza Strip. They've not had an election since. They've used the Palestinian people as their mules, as just their slaves, to do what they want to do to Israel. Israel built a fence. They built some walls and fences, put security gates there like any intelligent person would. And they have used the Gaza Strip to bomb Israel through the tunnels, to invade Israel, terrorist attack after terrorist attack, never, ever recognizing Israel's right to exist, always vowing to destroy the nation of Israel. How on earth is Israel supposed to relate to those people? Okay, now, by the way, we drove in about 18 months ago. I was in Israel, drove through the West Bank. You drive through the West Bank, Israel, all the Israeli settlements and all the Palestinian settlements there, they just live together, work together. You know, there are terrorists there, Palestinian terrorists, but we just drove through there peaceably. You know, I've driven through there several times. That's where the Jews and Palestinians exist together. Of course, in the state of Israel, the Palestinians are citizens, many of them, and they exist together very well, but not Hamas. Not in the Gaza. This is a different group of people. And say, why on earth would Israel ever let down their guard and let October 7th happen in the first place? Because Hamas began to talk sweet to them. A couple of years ago, Hamas began to say, when the Abraham Accords were happening, well, let's be friends. Let's get along. And so Israel believed them. And this is like what happened, you know, on the Yom Kippur War in 1973, when they were hit by surprise from Egypt and Syria. They let down their guard, believing they were safe and were surrounded by friends. And then Hamas did exactly what they were going to do. Remember now, Iran is behind all this. They're the ones paying all the bills. They're the ones that are the puppet masters of Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, you know, the Houthis, all those kinds of people. Iran is the one doing this. So let me read you a quote now from, this is from Khamenei, who is Israel, or Iran's supreme leader. He stated that the cancerous tumor called Israel must be uprooted from the region, and that the perpetual subject of Iran is the elimination of Israel from the region. He also labeled Israel a country doomed to failure and annihilation, deeming it an illegitimate regime led by untouchable rabid dogs who cannot be called human beings. In 2013, he outlined a 9-point plan for Israel's elimination. And so Iran believes that Allah has called them to destroy Israel. This is their end time theology. Hope you're enjoying this teaching today. This is so crucial for us to understand what's really going on. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'm so glad that you are. I hope you're subscribing to YouTube. And if you haven't, just click that button there. But you can also be a subscriber to endtimes.com. $7 a month, go to endtimes.com. You get the full Tipping Point show every week, without ads, plus all the other podcasts, all the other articles and information that we have. Our site is full of helpful and encouraging information to help you, even you, to help the people around you during these incredibly difficult times that we're living in. So I want you to go right now, endtimes.com, become a subscriber.